T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, so let's just have fun this hour and talk about music and talk about albums. You know, we go through so many tense, stressful topics on the show all the time. We're getting close to Free For All Friday tomorrow. So let's talk about the Rolling Stone magazine list of the top 500 albums in 2020. So again, the list is new for 2020. The first list of the top 500 albums came out in 2003. Number five that year was The Beatles' Rubber Soul. Number four, Highway 61 Revisited, Bob Dylan. Number three, Revolver, The Beatles. Number two, Beach Boys, Pet Sounds. And number one, Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So when Rolling Stone did the first list, The Beatles held three of the top five positions, which was pretty amazing. Marvin Gaye was number six, What's Going On? And The Rolling Stones' Exile on Main Street was number seven. When they redid the list and revised it in 2013, The Velvet Underground, the album The Velvet Underground and Nico was number one. Number five. The Strokes, Is This It? Number four. Hunky Dory by David Bowie was number three. Beatles Revolver, number two. And The Smiths, The Queen Is Dead, was listed as the top album on the list of 500 albums, and that was in 2013. So we're going to go to break with a list. We'll do this in just a moment. But if you want to join us with a comment, and you know, I want to hear about your favorite your favorite album, and what's an album that you can listen to from beginning to end, and are there albums, are there songs or albums that were done a while back, but because of what we're going through in America today, because of this extraordinary year of 2020, the songs are as relevant today as they were when they were written for the times in the past. The Mortgage Financial Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And you can also send me an email, scoot at wwl.com. So on the Rolling Stones list of the top 500 albums for 2020, the number two album out of 500 is Pet Sounds, The Beach Boys. And this was an album that, at this point, The Beach Boys were really starting to compete with The Beatles. And man, this is a phenomenal album. So many great songs on this album. And Brian Wilson was the genius really behind Pet Sounds. But it is respected in music as really one of the best albums of all time. And it was mentioned in 2003 when the list was first done as the number two album. Well, it's back at number two on the revised list of the top 500 albums of all time. What is the number one album? We're going to play that for you coming up out of this break on WWL. According to Rolling Stone magazine, the number one album out of the top 500 albums is What's Going On, Marvin Gaye. And as great as this album is, I can't help but think that what we're going through now as a country contributed to this album being named number one. And then there was a Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology. You know, we talk about the environment now. You know, years ago we talked about ecology, really the same thing. But, you know, this was just such a profound song, and I've played this often and will continue to play this often as bumper music on the show because it is so relevant to the world that we live in today. I mean, what's going on? I mean, if ever there was a time to ask this question again, it's 2020. I mean, what's going on? So coming up this hour, we'll round out the top five. So number one was Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. The number two album on the Rolling Stones revised list of the top 500 albums is Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. We'll do number three, a song from number three, going into this break coming up. But if you want to join us with a comment, the Mortgage Financial Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. What is your favorite album? And maybe we'll play a song from it. And also, you can also send me an email, scoot@wwl.com. From Jefferson, Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, pal, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Good. Hey, I have to say, I'm glad Rolling Stones struck a blow for us old guys, naming a 50-year-old album. And stunned.
Right. Well, and then and look, Beach Boys number two, that's been around for a while, too. And then Abbey Road was number five.
Yeah. I mean, I made the point before that when Woodstock happened in 1969, Sha-na-na played, and they were considered an oldies group, playing music mm-hmm. that was roughly 10 years old.
Right.
And here we are. The number one album is 50 years old.
That's it is amazing. And you know, you look back at some of the bands, and Sha-na-na is one of them. You look back at some of the bands, and really, the music of Sha-na-na in some ways seemed to contradict the whole mood and the lifestyle and the attitude of Woodstock.
Yeah, maybe it was like a palate cleanser, you know.
Yeah, maybe so.
You have one fun band in there in the middle of all this. Sturm and Drang and drama, and you know, everybody can relax. All right, one of my favorite albums is the Eagles' Desperado. I don't care how many people hate the Eagles. I really don't care. And the song I'd like to hear on bumper music is the song Out of Control from that album, which is just a raving rock and roll song.
That wasn't one of the big hits off the album, right?
No, not at all. But it is okay. It wasn't the first concept album by any means, but it is a really good concept album. You can listen to it mm-hmm. from start to finish. They have a little coda at the end that wraps it all up, and that is just a great album. But here's my idea. When you talk to Susan Kausil, when you talk to that nice lady from Berlin, you know, there was a really good show on BBC Radio called Desert Island Discs. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. Desert Island Discs.
Like a half-hour show, and the theme of the show was, what 10 albums would you want to take with you if I was going to maroon you on a desert island?
Interesting. That's a great question.
It'd be like a standard question. Give me three albums you're taking to the desert island, and let's hear what you say. Because I mean,
I'll do that.
That'd be a great.
It's a great idea, Larry.
Talk to these people. You know,
I'll start to do that.
Question. It doesn't have to be the only three you'd take, but what three are going to be in the box if I drop you off on an island?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Larry, listen, you too. Thanks for tuning in. From Ponchatoula, John, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing? Look, Simon and Garfunkel, Sounds of Silence. And the song, and I don't remember what album it's on, the song Imagine. I think that song right now would kind of fit what we might ought to be going through.
Yeah, John Lennon song.
Yes.
Yeah. John, you're right about that. I played that yesterday when I talked about, or this the day before, I don't remember. But I played it one day this week when I was talking about Mark Chapman, who is the one who killed John Lennon, is now apologizing, saying it was a despicable act and he's sorry. And he did it because he wanted to be famous. And we played that that song. And I think the most amazing thing about John Lennon being killed the way he was is just the idea that John Lennon would just walk around alone or like go someplace, you know, by himself or with Yoko Ono. They would go somewhere in New York, you know, without security. I mean, that just seems like it was an amazing thing to happen. And sadly, it's interesting. So often during the Nixon administration, the government tried to deport John Lennon, and they failed. And so John Lennon ends up winning the battle against deportation, ends up staying in America, and ends up being killed here. John, I appreciate your call. Glad you're listening. And let's go to Gonzalez. And Gary, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, it's Derek, man. They got my name wrong.
Oh, hey, Derek.
Hey.
That's all right.
I wanted to tell you the perfect song for this time right now would be off Depeche Mode album Violator, and the song would be called Policy of Truth, because we're not getting no truth from nobody.
Policy of Truth, Depeche Mode. All right, if we don't get to that today, I'm going to put that in the rotation, and we'll do that tomorrow.
Definitely. I mean, that would describe, you know.
And, Derek, I know you're a big Morrissey fan, you know, so Rolling Stone magazine, when they came out the list of the top 500 albums in 2013, The Smiths, The Queen is Dead, was the number one album. Yeah.
It's a great album, too, Skip. Great album.
All right. All right, Derek, I appreciate the call. Ian, do we have a couple of text messages to share?
We have hundreds. Let me pull it up here.
Okay.
People are like...
Thank you all for your
pulling over their cars to send these in. Let's see. Okay. How Great Thou Art, best gospel album by Elvis Presley. Let's see.
Okay.
There's a bunch of things about the Ku Klux Klan, which I don't know if relevant. God Only Knows from Pet Sounds. Here's one that I'm very surprised
great
that
song.
Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness did not make the top 25. No disrespect to Bob Dylan and the Beatles, but they have double representation in the top 25. Room could have been made. That's Smashing Pumpkins.
I'm not really familiar.
Tonight, you know that one.
Yeah. I mean, I do like Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, me too. No disrespect.
You know, it's. You know, on the 2020 list, Nevermind by Nirvana was number six. And let's see, the next time there was, I guess then The Clash, London Calling, was number 16. So there is some representation of that era, but not too many. You have another text for us? Okay.
Let's just take a phone call here.
Let's go. Okay, let's go to Mandeville. And Janine, you're on WWL.
Hi. My favorite song would be by Joe Walsh with the Eagles, One Day at a Time.
One Day at a Time.
Yes.
I'm writing it down.
Song. Great.
And that was
Joe Walsh? With the Eagles.
Yeah. With the Eagles, okay. I'm gonna look that up because it's interesting how we do remember songs that came out a long time ago and they were written because they fit the times, but yet they're so relevant today in this crazy year of 2020. All right, Janine, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Here is thanks. Here's a comment from an email from Rusty. Says 1984 Purple Rain, Prince and the Revolution. Goes on to say that was the first concert I ever went to in the Superdome. Sellout, Sheila E., The Time, and Prince closed the show. 12 midnight, single spotlight on his guitar. He played for 15 minutes and then began the song Purple Rain. Remember it like it was yesterday. I was at that concert in 1984, and it was, it was a great one. Also, you know, I was thinking about The Killers. And I played the song Mr. Brightside by The Killers because when The Killers played at halftime of the Monday night game between the Saints and the Raiders, that was the top highlight to me. That was the best part of the game to me, The Killers, because of the way the game turned out. But that watching The Killers just made me so miss going to concerts. I mean, I miss the anticipation of going to see somebody that you love. You can't wait to experience the music. You can't wait to feel the music. You can't wait to feel the concert. I miss the anticipation. I miss, you know, getting ready. I miss, you know, going there and the anticipation and then hearing the concert and sharing it with so many people around me. That, boy, I hope one day soon we get back to going to concerts. Cosmo, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing today? Thanks for taking the call.
Good. Sure.
I Rush is my favorite band. I have to put one of the LPs as my second favorite of all time. That's Moving Pictures with Limelight, The Camera's Eye, which is a very underrated song, a very long song, and of course Tom Sawyer. I wasn't a big fan of Tom Sawyer, but it is on the LP, and it was one of their hits. But I think my favorite was Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
It is a great album in so many ways. To be honest with you, that was not something that was part of the genre that I was most attracted to at the time. I could look back and see what a work of art it is. But when that album was out and when I was on the radio playing tracks from the album, I have to honestly say that it was not an album that I would consider to be like one of my favorite albums, but it was just such a great album. Cosmo, I appreciate the call. Let's see. Do we have any other, do we have any more text messages?
Yeah, Come Together by the Youngbloods.
Can we read a few?
Yeah.
Oh, Get Together. Get Together was the Youngbloods song.
Sure.
Get Together.
Here's another.
Yeah. I have a memory of that. The New Orleans Pop Festival, 1969 in Gonzales. And it started to rain and fireworks were going off. And I was 17 years old at the time. I think I had the lead singer, Jesse Colin Young. I had him with me, and I brought him over to our blanket, and I go, guys, you got a beer? This is the lead singer of the Youngbloods. And so, man, this guy, that guy came to our blanket, and that was just a really, really great. Actually, well, he came before they did the song, because obviously he was singing the song on stage. But that was a really great memory. All right, let's do another one.
Here's something that is interesting. You spoke, I think, in the last segment about Nevermind, Nirvana. Funny happenstance. That was released on this day, September 24th in 1991.
Interesting. I appreciate that information. Yeah, by 1993, the grunge sound had really reached mass appeal. So I want to share with you now the number 3 album on Rolling Stone's revised list. It just came out, the top 500 albums of all time. It's an album that I'm not familiar with, but Ian Hoke is familiar with it. The album is Blue by Joni Mitchell. Why is this album number 3 on the list of the top 500 albums?
You're asking me why?
Yeah, I'm asking you, why?
Because it's the most pure poetry. The lyricism, her skills as a composer, she plays the piano, she plays the guitar. I think that's even her playing the mandolin in a couple places. She's at the peak of her vocal acumen. It is an absolute masterclass in songwriting and song performance. I mean, and there's no track on here that is skippable. They're so raw. They're so emotive. It's like you're reading her diary. And I've read up about this album because I'm obsessed with it. This is probably one of my top 3 favorite albums of all time. And I've read all sorts of contemporary critiques about it. And, you know, 25 years later, 40 years later, how do people feel about Joni Mitchell's Blue? And it's just such effusive praise. And I experienced that same feeling when I listened to it. It's gold. It's absolute gold.
Well, it caught me by surprise because I wasn't familiar with the album. And I look back on the first list from Rolling Stone that came out in 2003, and then the revised list in 2013. And Blue is not in the top 10, but suddenly is number 3. Do you think there's something relevant about that album or the ambiance of that album that makes it number 3 in the year 2020?
I don't think so. It's kind of, I mean, it's not really tied anything to that's happening in current events or politics in some of the way that you mentioned some of the other albums that are near the top of the list are. Blue is really, it's like a travelogue. Joni Mitchell cut a couple albums and then she traveled to Europe. She was in France and Greece for a little while, knocking around there. And the album is largely a collection of material that she wrote during that time. So it's in that sense, it's a bit timeless. It doesn't feel like it's, you know, really connected to 1971 or 1990 or 2020. It's an album for the ages.
All right, here is the song River from the very poetic and melodic album Blue by Joni Mitchell. Number 3 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of the top 500 albums of all time. It just came out the other day.
I'm going to have to step out and get some tissues here. I'm just going to put this up and excuse me.
I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. Financial Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870, and we'll be back. It was a phenomenal double album, Songs in the Key of Life. This is a song from that Stevie Wonder album. This was number 4 on Rolling Stone's list of the top 500 albums of all time, which has been revised and has just come out. I'm Scoot. We're continuing to talk about your favorite album. I've got an email here that says, in my opinion, no album surpasses Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles. It was so original for its time, not just in music, but in cover art, the written lyrics in the album cover sleeve, and the recording techniques that hadn't been heard of at the time. Rolling Stone got it right last time. Yeah, that was the number one album when they first did the list in 2003. Let's go to Ian Hoke with a couple of your text messages.
The perfect song for today's climate would be Know Your Rights by The Clash. That text is from Travis.
You know, we've actually played that, Travis, and I'll bring that back. That's another thing we're talking about this afternoon, songs that were written a while back, but that are so relevant to the world today. Know Your Rights. Yeah, we have actually played that by The Clash. We'll bring that back. Let's do one more.
Miles Davis, Kinda Blue.
You know, I'm not really familiar. You know, Miles, okay, I'm going through the list here. Okay, in 2003, Rolling Stone named Miles Davis, Some Kind of Blue, as the 12th best album out of the top 500 albums. You know, as great as Miles Davis is, that was not a genre that I paid as much attention to as I should have. Let's go to Metairie. And Chuck, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. It was weird. Hey. You were talking about Joni Mitchell, and I said, wait a minute, I just heard a song by her the other night on this incredibly good show on Netflix called Away. You want to see really an incredibly written show, Hilary Swankson, it's about the first man's trip to Mars. But I mean, yeah, to Mars. But anyway, so I'm listening to the song, and I remembered it as Hart had sang the song. And I said, and they said, Joni Mitchell. I said, wait a minute, Joni Mitchell. So I'm looking it up to say who did it first. And as soon as I take my earbuds out and I saw that it was Joni Mitchell, y'all playing that song on the radio, I went, oh, it's too much of a coincidence. But anyway.
Those things are kind of freaky when that happens.
Unbelievable. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm just listening to River on my earbuds, and here it is now, and I'm listening to my – I was confused as to what I was listening to.
And such an obscure album in terms of, like, you know, common – popularity. So that really was a coincidence that you were listening to it and we were playing it too.
Yeah, and what shocked me when I went up to see Joni Mitchell really did release it first in 1971, that song has been covered by like 100 different people. It's a beautiful song. And it's
really
the same song of that show Away on Netflix. I mean, I'm blown away how many people covered that song as I'm scrolling down the screen. But if you get a chance to watch the show Away, First Man Trip to Mars, Hilary Swank's the commander.
Okay.
Unbelievably good. Unbelievably good.
Okay.
But
all right, I'll check that out.
All right.
Hey, Chuck, I appreciate the call. All right, man. Glad you're listening. Let's see, Ian, do we have any more text messages here? Here's a classic album.
What you got?
I get this in an email from Jacques, Tapestry by Carole King.
Yes.
I mean, that was just one epic album. Another comment here from Bill, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. Another great one. So let's do a text.
The Joshua Tree, U2. A stunning, groundbreaking album that still holds up. That's from Tony.
It does, Tony. And I remember seeing the concert, I guess just a couple of years ago, maybe just 2 years ago, at the Superdome. And they did the U2 did the Joshua Tree, the whole album. I mean, and that made my list of one of the top 10 concerts I'd ever been to. It was amazing.
Anytime somebody does a concert where they just play one of their big albums from front to back, I'll throw money at an experience like that.
Well, and in an, you know, this is a, you know, a little different, but it was this, it's the same concept. When I saw Gin Blossoms and talked to Robin Wilson, did an interview with him and saw them at House of Blues, they were celebrating, I think, the 25th anniversary of New Miserable Experiences with Hey Jealousy and Found Out About You and Until I Fall Away. They did the whole album in that order, and that was pretty amazing.
There's a couple musicians here in town, a couple of the musicians from Sweet Crude, you know, that really hot young band.
Yeah.
A couple of the people from that do Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill, where they play the entire album. And that packs it out. Hundreds of people show up for that. And there's just nothing quite like it because everybody knows every single word. Everybody has such an emotional attachment to the music because they were all in middle school or high school when that came out. I love those. Oh, look, and somebody just texted in a few seconds ago, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. Well, you know how I feel about Alanis, so we're good.
You know, it's interesting to think about, you know, when I talk about the grunge era, and I loved the grunge era. I got into even the fashion at the time. But somebody who was kind of coming of age and really being aware of music and life and boys and girls, really, I mean, really becoming aware of it and dating and all that. Somebody who was, a teenager when that era was popular, the grunge era was popular, they're like 45, 50 now. So, you know, this is not like foreign territory to a talk radio audience. And so I love to touch that audience as well, because you're, you know, as much a part of our show as anybody else. All right, I'll try to get to just a few more, but here was the song that Rolling Stone magazine selected as number 5. Well, not the song, but the album was Abbey Road. Song from Abbey Road is Come Together. But this was Rolling Stone's number 5 album of the top 500 albums, revised list for 2020. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Here's a song from one of my favorite albums, an album that I can listen to from beginning to end. Exodus, Bob Marley. Three Little Birds, love this song. I used to listen to this song from beginning to end, never getting up and changing the track because I think I was too stoned. Seriously, sit there like, man, let's just let this play. But no, it's one of those albums that I can listen to from beginning to end. You know, forgive me for my honesty about my life. Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby and Christian Garrick, and voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, will join the guys at 5:20. And then the player show at 6 p.m. with Saints defensive end Trey Hendrickson. So they'll have a lot to talk about. Also, LSU opens the season against Mississippi State at home, 2:30 Saturday afternoon. Then Sunday night, another primetime game for the Saints. The Saints and the Packers, Breeze against Aaron Rodgers. Now, Drew and the offense are going to have to do a hell of a lot better job than they did the first 2 weeks. So let's see what happens there. Looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow. So, you know, I've enjoyed talking about music and songs in particular that are relatable today. They were written a long time ago. And it's amazing how many songs really, it just goes to show you the turmoil that exists with us in 2020, because there were songs written about turbulent times in the past that just so fit the world that we live in today. So it's been fun talking about this. And, you know, whenever we can add pop culture to politics, we always do that on the show. You can also join me after the show, not immediately after the show, but I'll be on Instagram Live tonight at just after 9 o'clock. It's Scoot on the Air Instagram. And we can talk about some of the things that we talked about on the show. We can talk about some of what we'll talk about tomorrow. And I don't know, there's other stuff that goes on. So I'll spend a few minutes with you live tonight on Instagram. On Facebook last night, I went and bought some. I had to go pick up a couple of things at the store. And, you know, I get so tired of eating chicken because I eat a lot of chicken. In fact, I cook chicken on Sundays, and I eat chicken like every night of the week. I was at the store, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to get some fresh fish. So I got this big, beautiful piece of salmon, fresh salmon. And I came home and I thought, you know, I'm going to cook salmon and I'm just going to make up this recipe. And so I did a series of three videos that's posted on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. And look, there's some stuff that really doesn't go along with health codes with my preparation of the food. But you know what? It's fun. I call it Salmon Delight because I didn't have another name for it. But it really turned out to be great. But that's on Facebook. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke. And thank you for being part of the show. Okay, we're back tomorrow. It's Free for All Friday. We'll try not to be serious. And so we'll have as much fun as we can. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.